Number one, we'll take this for a jumping off place, and then I'm going to work my way to what's really on my heart. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk to you a little while tonight about how God started a church through the Apostle Paul and his team. Paul had a team everywhere he went. He didn't just take off to do mission work by himself. Here's why most churches don't get much missionary work done. You can get them to give, but it's hard to get them to go, because they got too much they got to do. They can't go. But Paul was a busy guy before he started doing all this. And so was Dr. Luke. I'm sure a physician was busy in those days. But he just ended up going everywhere Paul went, because Paul was kind of sickly and he needed a doctor continually. And so Dr. Luke was always there to write down what was going on. Timothy is mentioned here in verse number 1. Paul called him my son, Timothy. He ended up going everywhere Apostle Paul went, just about. And Paul was training Timothy to do what Paul was doing. That's one of the great blessings of the mission field. I was watching your history over there and saw a trip you made to Papua New Guinea. Yeah. Those are highlights. Yes, that's when you get your burden for missions. Amen. When you go and see the need in person. Amen. So I've been preaching for the last, you know, when I resigned as pastor at Shady Acres a little over 2 years ago, I've been traveling just as much or even more. And I've been preaching a lot on Jesus didn't say, go ye in prayer. He didn't say, go ye in giving. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I'm not against you praying and giving. That's a vital part of missions. I'm just saying he had enough of a vocabulary. He could have said, go ye in giving. Go ye in praying. But he just said, go ye. Well, who's the ye? That's everybody in here. Everybody in here needs to go somewhere and tell somebody somewhere else in the world what God has done for you and what He can do for them. But here's how I know some people are not going to go. Number one, they don't have a passport. If you don't have a passport, you have absolutely no intention of leaving this country ever, to tell anybody the gospel. Ooh. I felt a chill right there. Does your King James Bible just say, go ye into all the world? That's what it says. Now, I had to get old to figure that out. But I finally figured it out. And I've been going. I've been going to Romania. I went to Romania 35 years ago. Taught the whole book of 1 Corinthians verse by verse to a bunch of pastors and young men who had been called to preach in Ukraine and Romania and Moldova. And 33 years later, they called and said, our sons have been saved and called to preach, and we want you to come teach them the book of 1 Corinthians. Because we're having problems in our churches. And that's the book that teaches you how to deal with problems in the churches. So I flew back over there and taught the book of 1 Corinthians verse by verse, and had enough time that I taught about half of 2 Corinthians. I think the first 8 or 9 chapters. I'm talking about going gave me a bigger burden when I saw those men that were trying to build churches and they didn't have a Bible school to go to. They just needed somebody to fly over there and teach them the Bible like we're all very familiar with, but they're not that familiar with it. And they appreciated it so much they wanted me to teach their sons. And I went I didn't even remember this, but one of them said, well, I was hoping you'd get to finish 2 Corinthians. I still got the notes from 30-something years ago. He said, but I think you ended in the same chapter you ended the last time. He said, so you got to come back and finish 2 Corinthians. Paul had a team. Here's what you need to pray, church. Lord, give us a team that can go and see the need and have a part in fulfilling that need. Doesn't have to be all men. We have a team that goes to Romania and does a vacation Bible school 1 week and a teen camp the next week. And they have about 300 kids that come every year. And that's with the Catholic priest telling them not to go. And he schedules some kind of camp the same week every year, hoping he can get them to come to the Catholic. And the majority of them come to ours because they like it better. If you ask them why, they say, the Catholic one is boring. Well, have you ever been to one of their church services? They specialize in boring. Oh, I don't have time to tell every story I'm thinking of. I went to a funeral one time. A couple in the church said that, you know, just having a funeral, and one of our friends is going to be there, and he's Jewish, and he's a Catholic. I said, what? He's a Jew? He's Jewish and he's a Catholic? Yeah, yeah. I want you to come. I want to introduce you to him. And so I went to the funeral home for whatever they were calling it, and the Catholic priest was going to do his thing, and I couldn't even tell you what he did. It was so boring. And so then these people somehow talked them into letting me get up and say a few words. So I got up there and I said, well, I'm a preacher of the gospel, but I hate boring preaching. And they started laughing. In a Catholic church. They're laughing. They started cheering. Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't know where the priest was by then. He was long gone. Thank God for that. That's what kind of stuff got Paul in trouble. He just got up and preached. Just preached the truth. And it always got him in trouble. So he's got this team of people that go everywhere he goes. And he's training them to do the work when he's gone. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're all going to be gone sooner or later. And we got to train these younger ones to keep it going. Not only here, and this is vital, but around the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Romania is a great place to take a team. Bogota, Colombia is a great place. Oh, what about the drug cartels? Well, what about the ones in America? Nobody's afraid in America of the drug cartels. You don't worry about it. You don't wake up worrying about, oh, I wonder if they're going to get me today. Well, just don't worry about it when you're in Colombia. I got this thing here on my coat. Somebody asked me on the airplane today. Said, Anchor, was you in the Navy? I said, no, sir. Marines? Well, this is a Marines medal, but I wasn't in the Marines. This is a Colombia, South America Marines medal. Given to me by a missionary that we sent out of the Shady Acres Baptist Church, Brother Luis Bolaños. And he said, wear this when you come to Colombia and the drug cartels will leave you alone. I thought if it worked in Colombia, maybe it'd work in America. Anchor and a machine gun. I love that combination. You got to go to see the need and to get the burden in your heart. You got to go. Well, I don't have time, then cut something else out. You got time for vacation, use your vacation week. Go to a mission field somewhere. Find out what's going on. Find out how you can help and be a blessing. It'll give you memories you'll never forget. And rewards when you get to glory. By the way, Jesus left his home. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Had his Father send him away from home. Heaven was his home. I wouldn't want to leave there. But he did. And that's why we're here. He so loved us. So you need a team to go somewhere. My wife loves going to Paraguay. She goes to Israel every chance she gets. And we've had some real contacts in Israel. It's not 1, 2, 3, repeat this after me in Israel. That doesn't fly. By the way, I'm not sure it flies here either. That's the way a lot most people do it in the Independent Baptist nowadays. But if you don't build a relationship, it's probably going to be like a piece of popcorn. You got to build a relationship with people. That takes time. Otherwise, they're just going to maybe be nice and pray the prayer just to get you out of their hair. And then when they wake up in hell, they're going to say, well, I thought that prayer saved me. No, Jesus is the one who saves you. It's not what you say. It's not where you go to church. It's what's going on down here. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, there wasn't always a church at Philippi. Let's go to Acts 16. We probably don't have time to do this, but we'll just kind of do it like bologna and just slice it off when we get done, when we get full. I want you to see how this church got started. Chapter 16, verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Things are going great. Churches are increasing daily. So what do? What does Paul's team do? They leave. They're doing great. Okay, let's go find somewhere where they don't have a church. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. The first thing I notice about that is Paul was spiritual enough to know when not to preach. We don't have many of those left. Preachers get offended nowadays if they go off to a meeting and nobody calls on to preach. Well, I'm not going back to that meeting. They didn't even call on me to preach. That's why they didn't call on you. You got nothing to say. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'll tell you right now, I got a verse. It said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I got a verse. Yeah, but what if the Holy Ghost says, not here, not now? You going to obey the Holy Ghost or you going to obey what you think? Your verse. Yeah. I'm losing some of y'all right there. Doing good. Everybody's got a verse for to do what they want to do. But Paul knew the Holy Ghost personally. Do we believe that still? That he's a comforter that came when Jesus left. And he lives in us. And abides. And speaks to us. And leads us. And guides us. As if Jesus Christ himself were still here. But you got to get to know him. You got to listen for his voice. Well, I guess you're going to tell us that he speaks to you. Yeah, he does. But it's a still, small voice. And most Christians nowadays keep so much racket going on all the time, they can't hear that still, small voice. Now, it may be gospel music, but it's still racket. Uh-oh, I lost some more. You're going to have to get quiet occasionally, or you're not ever going to hear his voice. People don't ride with me to meetings anymore. Because they bring, you know, CDs or whatever they are. My 99 Suburban still has a cassette player in it. So when they try to put their CD in there, they say, where do you put this? I said, back in your sack, I guess. Ain't nothing in here going to play it. Well, preacher, what do you do when you drive hundreds of miles? I say, I talk to the Lord. If you'll shut up, I'll talk to him right now. Hard to talk to him with all this racket going on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I just some old goofy fool that's just old and senile? And having delusions that I'm actually being spoken to by the Holy Ghost. Usually it's about, look, you need to quit doing this and quit doing that. And quit making a fool of yourself all the time when you're preaching. Yes, sir. Believe it or not, I'm trying. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. They're traveling, serving the Lord involves traveling. You got to travel. You got to travel if you're going to serve the Lord. I don't care if it's in your county. You still got to travel to get to people that are lost. You got to travel. Well, they know where the church is. Yeah, but they hadn't come in the last 50 years. They won't come in the next 50 years unless somebody travels to them. And loves them. Cares about them. Don't go with a chip on your shoulder about what kind of church they go to or what kind of so-called Bible they're carrying. Don't go with a chip on your shoulder. Go with some love in your heart. That comes back from Philippians chapter 1. I won't go over and read it, but Paul says, I have you in my heart. He said, I have you in my mind. Thank God on every remembrance of you. I have you in my prayers. Still in chapter 1. I have you in my heart. He didn't say on my heart. That's what people say nowadays, brother. I got you on my heart. Paul said, I got you in my heart. That's deeper. You can have people on your heart and not have them in your heart. When are you going to get them? In your heart. Like your own children are in your heart. Like your own grandchildren are in your heart. How about somebody's children and grandchildren that don't have a grandma and grandpa going to church? And they're never going to hear the gospel unless somebody in here gets them in your heart. To where you have trouble going to sleep at night because you're so burdened for them. Paul loved that church at Philippi. He used more terms of endearment for that church than any other letter he wrote. My brethren. My beloved brethren. My dearly beloved brethren. He used those terms of endearment more with that church than any other church because they were in his heart, his prayers, and his remembrance. He thought about them all the time. But here he hadn't even met them yet. The Holy Ghost is leading him not to preach here, not to preach there, forbidden to preach here, forbidden to preach there, because the Holy Ghost wants to get him to Philippi. A lot of missionaries spinning their wheels because they just thought there was a need instead of the Holy Ghost saying, go there and preach there. Do we still even believe that? I'm telling you, he'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll speak to you to lead you and guide you. All you got to do is listen and obey. And he will use you. So he suffered them not in verse 7. They passing by Mysia came to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia. That's where Philippi is. Is in Macedonia. And prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. He woke up the next morning. He said, I got good news, boys. Holy Ghost been talking to me tonight. We're fixing to have a place to preach. We're going to have to do some more traveling. I hate to tell you that. But at least I know where we're going this time. We're going to Macedonia because I've heard from heaven. You know, it's easy to be obedient if you hear from heaven. The hard decisions are when you're just trying to figure it out. You better do less figuring and more praying. Less figuring and more listening. Even about people in your neighborhood. You just go out there and blindly knock doors. I'm not against it, but I'm telling you, if you'll start praying for people, sooner or later God is going to burden your heart with somebody to where you can't help it. You're going to get to can't help it. You're going to have to go say something to them. Have you ever even experienced that? We need more of that. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, who saw the vision? That'd be Paul. Immediately, we endeavored to go. Who's the we? Well, Luke's the one who wrote it down. He's one of them. Timothy's probably one of them because he's mentioned over in Philippians chapter 1. He had a heart for Philippi. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go, listen to your Bible now, into Macedonia, that's where Philippi is, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. Now wait a minute. Who saw the vision? Paul. Who'd God call? The whole team. They had so much confidence in Paul's spirituality and his realness and his sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit of God that if he said, God's called me to go to Macedonia, Dr. Luke said, me too. Timothy said, me too. Somebody, Silas maybe said, me too. If he called you, Paul, he called us. Immediately, we endeavored to go. Not next year. Not year after next. Immediately. Let's go, Paul. If God called you, he called us. Church, I'll tell you when you'll get the job done. When you accept that reality and quit trying to be Mr. Independent Baptist. That's so independent you can't work with anybody. Because they're not perfect enough. What did he call us for? To preach the gospel unto them. That's what stops a lot of people. What they think stops them. Sometimes what they know stops them. My wife will be heading over there before long. Keep her in your prayers. She's, unlike me, she's getting older. Uh-oh. I bet she's listening right now. Oh, boy. Let's see. I got to leave Monday for Oklahoma. She's only got one day to hammer me. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. Now, why are they on a straight course now? Because the Holy Ghost is telling them where to go. They're not wandering around trying to find God's will. Once they heard from heaven, beeline. Straight course to Samothracia and the next day to Neapolis and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. That's where missionaries are supposed to go, or to the chief cities. They've argued with me about that for 30 years. Paul went to the chief cities. Why? That's where the most of the people are. You can win more people, train more preachers, amen, if you'll go to the big cities. Now, but we need every independent Baptist church in every little town, in every little community in America. But if you're going to be a missionary and you're going to try to train men to reach their country, you got to go to the big cities. You say, you got Bible for that? Yeah, I just read it. Did you miss that point? I know a lot of missionaries that missed that point. God's called me to go to the remote villages where the gospel has never been preached. No, he calls you to go to the nearest big city and train nationals. And they can go all to them little remote places. But they never believe me when I tell them. This was that part of Macedonia and a colony. That means it's a military city. And we were in that city abiding. And that means men are coming from all over the world. Boy, what an opportunity for the gospel. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women. In other words, God said, don't preach here, don't preach here, don't preach there, don't preach there. Here, go over and help them in Macedonia. I want you to go to a women's prayer meeting. That'd be a little too much for most independent Baptist preachers. You mean amen right there? No, don't preach in any of these places where all these men are. I want you to go to a women's prayer meeting. Amen. There's a woman there that I want to save, and she's a wealthy woman, and she can help the mission program of the church. Lydia, a seller of purple, owned a bunch of ships. Wealthy woman. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. She's not even saved yet. Did you hear what I just said? She's not even saved yet, and she's worshiping God. The only way she knows how is a lost woman. Kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch. He went there to worship God, but he left empty. There's people around the world that are seeking after God. They're worshiping Him the best way they know how, but they need somebody to show them from the Word of God. Go ye. Heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, so that's when she got saved, her heart was open, she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she got so saved that when she went home, she told her whole family about it, and they all got saved. Real salvation is contagious. Phony salvation is a turnoff. She besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She wasn't going to turn them loose. Come and stay, 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 stay. What a blessing. We'll just have revival around here at my house. And it came to pass. Things are going great, right? It's going wonderful. He got to the right place. Got her hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost. Don't. Spiritual enough not to preach when it's best, and yet loaded for bear when it's time. I admire that. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, that's a vital part of this ministry. Don't forget how vital prayer is to this church. What a blessing when you call on that brother to pray a while ago and he touched heaven. What a blessing. It reminded me of when I was a little boy. That little church I went to on a